is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads. This March, our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball are offering $2,000 off the Dr. Dish All-Star, Rebel, and CT Plus. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT Plus models. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details.
Hi, this is Andrew Petcash, sports entrepreneur, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel tonight, and we are jumping on to talk some NBA. The middle of, for sure, the Western Conference, but even the Eastern Conference is a little bit muddy in terms of who's going to finish where and what. So we're going to go through all that, but I'm assuming you have a win shares for me tonight.
I do. I'm going a little out of left field, Mike, because we've already done the Nets. I wanted to save the Cavs for like the end of the road. So I'm going to go with the team we're going to play on Saturday night or Sunday, the Houston Rockets. Mike, the Houston Rockets.
Houston Rockets. All right. Hakeem Olajuwon.
Number one.
James Harden.
Number two.
All right. That might be the first time I've gone 1-2. It's pretty good. All right. Now we've got to go. Okay. Ooh, now it gets a little bit more interesting. Trying to think of who was around for the Hakeem era that was there long enough for that to. Robert Horry?
Robert Horry is not in the top 12.
Okay. Let's see. Man.
Okay, so none of the three in the top five played with Hakeem.
None of them played with Hakeem.
Nope.
Okay. Didn't even play with Harden.
Oh, no.
No, so we're going back further than that.
And don't forget the San Diego Rockets are included in this. I don't know if that...
San Diego Rockets?
Yeah.
I didn't know there was such a thing as the San Diego Rockets. Well,
let me see.
I thought it was the San Diego Clippers.
No, apparently it was the San Diego Rockets before this. But none of these guys play for the San Diego Rockets, Mike, if that makes you feel any better.
It does make me feel better since I never knew that the team, the San Diego Rockets, ever existed. I'm going to have to do some research on that one. Well, let's see.
Oh, wait, that's a lie. One guy played 1 year for them before they moved to Houston. But it's a guy you know, so I'm not worried about that.
Okay. Man. Yao Ming.
Six.
McGrady couldn't have been there long enough to get in.
That is accurate.
List.
That is accurate. Okay. These are all, Mike, these are all pre-Hakeem. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
Right. I'm trying to think through. My Rockets, I'm drawing a complete blank on the Rockets.
Well, one of them coached the Rockets for many years.
Rudy Tomjanovich.
That's number four.
Okay. Calvin Murphy.
He's number three.
All right. Now I'm on it. And I need one more guy.
Oh, come on, Mike. I wouldn't associate this guy with a Rocket, but he played in the Rockets.
Okay.
He parted the Red Sea.
Oh, yeah, that's an easy one. Yeah, I guess you think of more as a Sixer, Moses Malone.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I said that. I wouldn't think of it. So, do you want to take a stab at any of the other guys, or do you want me to just tell you who they are? I'll tell you, I heard of all of them but one. One of them played with Harden. He's current. I think he's a Hawk. Is he still a Hawk? I think he's a Hawk.
Clint Capella.
He's number 12. Okay. One of the guys sits on the desk.
That sort of makes sense, just because he was there for such a long time.
One of the guy likes to race Shaq and Charles Barkley.
Kenny Smith.
Okay, he's number 11.
This Mario guy, Ellie. Mario
no,
Ellie.
No, 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 no. All these. No. No.
Sleepy Floyd.
Nope. The franchise.
Stevie Franchise.
Yeah, he's 8.
Really? I wouldn't have thought he would have had a long enough sustained career to be able to get to that level with the Rockets.
This guy was named after an elevator.
Otis Thorpe.
There you go. You got that. I'm pressed. 7. This guy's a Hall of Famer. His nickname. Hold on. The Big E.
Oh, yeah. Elvin Hayes. Boy, I did terrible on the Rockets.
Number 10.
It was like I blocked out everything pre-Akeem.
And this guy, I don't know much about this guy. Let me see here. Number. This guy, I have no nickname for this guy. He spent most of his career in Houston, 10 seasons. Oh, man, I got no nickname for this guy. Let's see, where did he play? He played for St. Mary's University.
That's not helping me.
He was came out in the 1977 draft. He's a small forward and shooting guard. Bob would be a shortened version of his first name.
All right, just give it to me. I got nothing.
Well, Bob is short for.
Yeah, Robert. Okay.
Robert Reed.
Robert Reed.
Ever heard of that guy?
I have heard of Robert Reed. Like I said, I know all those names, but every single one of them, I just could drew a complete blank.
I think it's because you took a nap on the couch, Mike.
Maybe. I don't know. I've been up late the last two nights, so this is just like night number 3 or 4. I can't keep track anymore. So it's been a little rough. So maybe the brain is not functioning.
Listen, I actually want to start.
I got the top two. I started out good.
Yeah. I want to start the podcast. I want to I know your son probably doesn't listen to our podcast, but getting second place in the leukemia, the fundraiser, that's pretty awesome. Like,
yeah, it was cool.
He raised
94,660 something, I think.
What was the first place person? Was he close?
No, 118.
Holy jeez. Where's that kid from?
It was a team. From, let me think.
Oh, it was a team, so it was more than one person.
Well, it was two kids. So I'm trying to think. I can't remember, to be honest with you. So two kids. But yeah, he raised $94,600. Credit to him and my wife, not necessarily to me. And yeah, it was fun.
Well, you shared all those posts on the Facebook, so.
Yeah, that didn't require much effort, but it was really a good experience for him. We got to go out and talk to business owners and talk in front of a lot of people and just had to sort of sell the cause and in some ways sell himself, and then got the opportunity to run and participate in a bunch of events. They did a Harlem Wizards game. They did a student staff basketball game. They did a middle school dance. And so they had a lot of things that helped to raise money. And then he had to go and, like I said, talk to different people here in the community to try to raise funds, and was able to do it and have success. So yeah, it was cool.
Another side, for those of us that, for those of you that will listen to our coaching interviews, recently we had an interview where we talked about Mike's attire. I almost commented on your mother-in-law's picture of you with wearing a shirt and tie and saying, so he does own a shirt and tie, but I decided that they wouldn't get that joke because they don't listen to the podcast, Mike.
Probably not. They might not, but yeah, Cal had the full-on pink suit.
Dude, that's pretty awesome. That was a pretty awesome fit, I will tell you.
Well, it was funny. He had it from – my wife bought it for him, seriously, probably, I don't know, 3 years ago, four years ago.
He still fits in it?
Well, I think it was bought like at a thrift store or somewhere. You know, it was bought somewhere where it was like – I think it was like $20. And then it's been stashed in the closet at various times. She's asked him to try it on and see if it fits, and – she was like, this is going to be the perfect thing. And at first he was a little bit
resistant, but he went for it, and it turned out to be. I can only
imagine what you're saying.
He was the tallest person probably at the gala one, and then with the pink suit, and then the fact that he finished second. So he was. There was a lot of, I think, attention thrown his way, which he doesn't mind. So yeah, it was
Listen, I was impressed. So I just wanted to shout him out and shout you guys all out. So
it was cool. Yeah, it was very cool.
All right. So let's get to the NBA, Mike. And we're going to start with the Cavs because the Cavs just wrapped up a victory over the Nets. It was really good. They were up 24 points and they kind of fumbled the lead away and won by 6, but they won. That's important. Jared Allen came back tonight, Mike. He played very, very well. He had a double-double. Mitchell had a ridiculous dunk. Played really, really well. It's going to be interesting to see what Thursday brings and what adjustments are made. I kind of like this, Mike, a little bit because this them playing these back-to-backs, it's kind of almost like a mini playoff series, yeah? Yeah, like...
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, they get to make adjustments on the fly. I wouldn't be... Well, I don't want to say... Like, I don't think for sure that this has happened, but I wouldn't be overly surprised if Mitchell sits on Thursday. He seemed to have re-aggravated that finger in the middle of the fourth quarter when he was going to the lane. He kind of got...
I saw that play, yeah.
Okay,
I saw that
so play. You were there?
I was still awake for that play.
So, I wouldn't be overly surprised, but at the same time, I kind of hope he doesn't because I would much rather him sit on Sunday's game than Thursday's game against the Rockets. I think that's a more natural game to sit, but would I be surprised if he sat on Thursday? No. But the Cavs looked good. Mobley, once again, he played great in the first half. His shot wasn't there. I don't know if you heard. Did you hear that he's leading the league in dunks?
I didn't hear that, but it doesn't surprise me if you watch the Cavs play all the time. He gets so many lobs
and
dunks. Yeah, that's not surprising.
He's fourth in the NBA in hook shots.
Channeling his inner Jabbar. Nice work.
I'm just saying, like, that's like for a guy who hasn't, like, blown us away on, like, at offense at least at the beginning of the year, and it's recently picked up. Those are some pretty big stats, like huge, and just as he just continues to evolve. And I mean, defensively, he's in my opinion. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. I got to imagine he's a first team all defense, right? I mean, he's got to be right there. Easy.
I would think so.
I mean, I don't know if it is that positional. Just like
I don't feel like it's positional. I could be wrong. If it's positional, then he may not make the first team.
Because of Lopez and Jaren Jackson.
Giannis, Jaren Jackson.
Oh, I think he's going to be in. All the metrics say he's the third best defender in the NBA right now.
I'm just telling you, I wouldn't be surprised if it's positional that he doesn't make first team. But I kind of think it's not. And yeah, he's going to be. Yeah, I mean, he should be right there as far as that goes.
And then, last year, until he got injured, I thought he was going to maybe be like the third team. We kind of thrown that out, I think, in March last year, that he might make third team, and then he got hurt, or was that February? I can't remember what it was. But anyways,
I don't think there is a third team.
Oh, is it only two teams?
I think there's only two all-defensive teams, I think. But we definitely talked about it, whether or not we thought he could make an all-NBA defensive team. I know that was a discussion that we had as the season was winding down last year, and we thought he had a decent chance. But this year, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that he makes one of the two teams. And if it's not positional, I could definitely see him being the guy that makes it. Although Allen deserves, I think, a ton of credit too for the Cavs defense. Those two guys, when you think about the fact that this team has the number one defense with two guards in the backcourt who are both 6'1 or 6'2, and neither one of them is known specifically for being great defenders, the fact that you have the number one defense is a credit to Mobley and Allen.
Yeah, it looks like it is positional. Two guards, two forwards, and one center.
He could make it, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's on second team based on
he's
that.
He's gonna be on one of them for sure. And if he's not, I'm gonna rage. I'm gonna be like what's Arkansas's coach name?
Musselman
taking a shirt off
after a victory.
He's done that multiple times, I guess. Did you read any articles about it?
I did not, but
he has that in his past. You know, you grew up in Brecksville, right?
Yeah.
And he was kind of, I mean, I played in a men's league with him once. He was crazy as a high school player. I mean, literally.
Eccentric, would you say that? Is that a good word? Eccentric?
Yeah. His dad was kind of a nut job. And I think his dad was very intense and known for being kind of crazy. Yeah. And I think Eric had a lot of the same qualities as a high school player. And then clearly he's a guy who has a lot of intensity, a lot of enthusiasm. And I'm guessing that probably his coaching style isn't for everybody, but man, to have that type of enthusiasm and intensity, you can see where your fan base and your players, if you got the right mentality and right attitude, that guy can fire you up. So
Anderson's going to have to thank us because I think we got him started on this path. What do you think, Mike?
Maybe.
On the podcast now, going from a D2 to a D1, 1 year at FDU, and now he's following in Rick Pitino's footsteps. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Hopefully we can have him back on the pod. I don't know if you sent him a message or anything, but
I haven't sent him a message since the game. I sent him prior to once they got in the tournament. I sent him a message. I tried to send a note to everybody who from every division who made it to the NCAA tournament. And so he got a message from me and then, but I haven't talked to him or haven't sent a message to him since.
He's probably a little busy.
Probably a little busy. So I might give him a little bit of time to get moved over to Iona and see what's happening there.
It'd be interesting if we got any lots of listens on that episode, Mike, like afterwards, because I know personally of three people that listened to the episode after they beat them.
Because in the just when I'm tweeting out episodes, so I usually tweet out five a day as long as I get to it on a given day, and his actually I think was up today or yesterday, not intentionally, not because it was relevant, but just that was where it was in the queue of the next episodes. And so it went up and so it went out there. So I'm going to look it up while we're talking. I'm just curious.
I know of three people that have listened to it because I sent it to them because I was like, oh, we had that guy in the podcast. And after his post game press conference, they're like, I want to listen to it. So, the one PE teacher was working out and listening to it, and she thought it was a good episode. So,
there you go. Let's see
this was right after they won, so this would have been reflected on like Friday or something like that.
Yeah,
but anyways, all right. So while you look at that, I'm just gonna talk really quickly. So, the other big news. I don't even know if the Cavs are big news, but the big news item is that Ja's supposedly playing tomorrow, and this came out this came out the day after we recorded last week that he was going to be suspended for 8 games and that he was likely going to come back. Are you surprised? I'm surprised. I'm really, really surprised because what is, in my opinion, this is my opinion, and what is 2 days in a, 2 or 3 days in a facility in Florida really going to do? Is that going to change? And like, that whole Jalen Rose interview afterwards, or was that Jalen Rose?
Jalen Rose, yeah.
Oh, come on. That was the most scripted, like, I don't know. I didn't feel good about that at all. I didn't feel good. Oh, my dad told me, like, all that stuff. Like, I don't know. I just feel this is very swept under the rug is maybe a word, is maybe too strong, but I just feel like it should have been handled differently. I don't think he should be playing personally. I just don't see how 2 or 3 days in Florida is really going to fix it. That's my opinion though.
Well, I guess when you say you don't know whether it's going to fix it, I think the question is what is it, right? I mean, that's the question. Is what he's talking about that it's stressful and he's got to figure out better ways to handle the stress. Is that true? Is that not true? You can either buy that or you cannot buy it. And I don't want to get into speculating whether or not what's going on with the guy and what's not going on with him. But it does feel like that a couple days in a Florida treatment center for whatever you're getting treatment for doesn't seem like you're really addressing the problem. And from everything that's sort of come out since this has gone on, it feels like there are some deeper issues beyond just the things that we've been able to see in the public. And so, again, I don't want to speculate too much about what may or may not be going on behind the scenes, but it clearly feels like there's some things going on that would definitely make you concerned if you were the NBA, or definitely make you concerned if you were the Grizzlies or a Grizzlies fan. And so what you hope, and we talked about this last week, is that this situation where you've had multiple things come out publicly that have skewed Ja's image, if nothing else, where I said it last week that if you go back 6 months or 8 months, Ja was pretty much the darling of the NBA, right? He's an American-born player. He plays an exciting style of basketball. Everybody talks about what a great leader he is, what a great teammate he is, how guys love to play with him. We've talked about how unselfish he is and how good of a passer he is. All things that when you start talking about what makes a player popular, he kind of checked all those boxes. And now suddenly in the last 8 months, we've got three different things that made you look at it, and maybe each one in an isolation by themselves, still not great, but maybe not that concerning, but you start to see this pattern and it becomes a little bit more concerning, and it just puts a hit on his reputation and kind of what people think he is or what people thought he was and what they think he's going to be moving forward. And so there's definitely concern, I think, in the NBA circles about what this guy's doing and why he's doing it. And did the Florida rehab, for whatever he was rehabbing for, did it work? Was it a sham? Was it this? Was it that? I don't really know the answer to that. I guess from my perspective, what I hope is that the gun in the club Instagram Live situation was something that made him stop, reflect, and make a decision that, hey, I've got to start to take my life and my career in a different direction. Now, can that happen overnight? Can that happen in 3 days in a rehab center in Florida? It could. Will it? I don't know. I don't know how easy or hard that is to be able to make a change in your behavior when it's clearly something that has been going on for, I think, longer than probably anyone realized. And part of the problem, or part of the issue, is, right, that there's been a lot of talk about the sort of his group that hangs out with him, that when he's going out and partying after games, that it wasn't with his teammates, it was with his guys that were been kind of part of his group since he was younger, which you completely understand. But you wonder, again, as you look forward, what changes does he make to make sure that what he's focused on is his basketball career and trying to maximize what he has as a basketball player, and then the impact he has as a person. I mean, look, if that's the kind of lifestyle that you're living, you're putting yourself in danger and you're probably putting others in danger. So those are clearly things that the NBA doesn't want, the Grizzlies don't want, and hopefully it's gotten to the point now where Ja doesn't want those things and he wants to get back and focus on basketball. Will he or won't he? You don't have the answer. I don't have the answer. Neither does anybody else. Only John knows what's going to go moving forward. And I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But it seems strange that he's back. I know we originally said we thought maybe he was going to be done for the season, but we don't know what's going on behind the scenes and what those conversations are like. So I guess you just now, at this point, you just have to see how it plays out.
Yep. All right. So I think now what we're going to do is we're just going to look through the playoff standings, and we're going to focus on those middle teams, the 4 through 12, and kind of try to iron those out, Mike. Does that sound like – I look at the – let's start with the Eastern Conference, and maybe we have to look deeper in the Western Conference. But I feel pretty confident that 1, 2, and 3 are going to be in some form of 1, 2, and 3, right? Like I don't think the Cavs can pass Philly. They're 3.5 back. There's not enough time, right?
I think both – I think the Cavs are locked in at 4, right? I don't think they're going to move up ahead of Philly. I mean, the Cavs could, you look at their schedule, and I know we're going to probably do their schedule here in a minute, but they could, I mean,
Let's just do it. Let's do this week now. So we play the Nets on Thursday.
I'm gonna say that's a win.
A win. Yep. We play the Rockets on Sunday. That's a win.
Yep.
And then we play at Atlanta. That's on Tuesday next week. We just something
that's
about
a,
Atlanta.
That's a losable game, just because I don't feel like we've played well against Atlanta, and for whatever reason, it feels like Trae Young and the Hawks always play well against the Cavs, and that's a game that Atlanta's going to need for playoff positioning. And like I said, I'm not sure how important it is any one win is for the Cavs at this point. I think we're kind of locked into four, but let's just call that a win.
Okay. So we'll say that they're going 3-0 then this week. The biggest game we have left is the following Friday game, Mike, right?
Right.
The Knicks.
But you're going to be at home, and you're going to have 2 full days rest coming into that game. That's going to be an important game from a standpoint of, is it really important? Probably not. Does it have any impact on a 7-game series if you're going to play the Knicks in the 4-5? Probably not. But that's a game that with 2 days rest, with your playing your likely playoff opponent, you're going to want to win that game if you're the Cavs or the Knicks, to be quite honest, regardless of whether it impacts the standings.
I agree. We're going to root for the Heat tomorrow night, Mike. Play the Knicks tomorrow night, so we're going to root for the Heat. So I just don't see the Cavs jumping up to 3. I think you're right. I think we're set in 4. Would I love to see Brooklyn somehow end up in the 5 seed? I wouldn't mind that very much, but I don't think that's happening either.
I don't think that's going to happen either. I mean, I guess you could theoretically say that's
the Knicks
closer.
The Knicks have a pretty easy schedule the rest of the way too. So, with tomorrow's Heat game being the hardest game I think they have left other than us. So I guess what we want to say is, do we think I feel pretty confident the Knicks are in the top 6. Is it going to be Brooklyn or is it going to be Miami by the time this all is said and done? What do you think? Brooklyn or Miami?
I think it's Miami.
I think it's Miami too. And listen, Miami, Philly, first round. If I'm Philly, I'm not comfortable with that. Like, right? I'm not comfortable with that. Because
well, you'd much rather be
James Harden and South
Beach. Rather be the two.
Oh boy,
you'd rather be the two. Clearly, there's value in being the 2 seed between Boston and Philly. I don't think either one of them is going to catch Milwaukee at this point. So I think Philly and Boston are going to flip flop back and forth between that 2 and 3. Philly's obviously playing much better than the Celtics are at this point. So
yeah,
Embiid's going to continue to be motivated to win the MVP, so he's going to keep playing at a high level, you would have to think. If I was betting, I would bet Philly to get to the 2 and Boston to remain or Boston to fall back down to the 3, although Boston's up on Sacramento right now, about 10 minutes ago in the fourth quarter tonight as we record this, they're up 20. So taking care of business on the road in Sacramento. But I still think Philly maybe gets ahead of them. You'd much rather, let's put it this way. I think of all the teams that are down there at the bottom, or even if you say teams 5 through 10, I think Miami is probably the team that everybody would least like to play, even though when you look at it player for player, once you get past Bam, Jimmy, and Tyler Hero, I'm not sure that there's anybody on the Heat that you're like, ooh, man, I don't know. I think you're afraid of the Miami Heat. You're not necessarily afraid of this iteration of Miami Heat's personnel, if that makes any sense. I think you're more scared of the idea of the Miami Heat as opposed to what this team actually is. But I do think that that's legitimate fear. If you're the Cavs, and maybe for anybody else, I would least like to see, I don't know, the Cavs, like I said earlier, they don't play well against the Hawks, but it feels like the Hawks have been such a mess. I can't believe they're going to right the ship. Toronto still feels like a team that has good top-end talent that's won a championship before, and that seems like something I'd want to avoid as well. To be honest, I really don't mind the Cavs drawing the Knicks in the first round. I think I might almost rather play the Knicks than Miami, Atlanta, or Toronto. I feel, especially if we have home court advantage, which we're going to, I would feel pretty confident against the Knicks. Not that they couldn't beat us, but I would feel like Miami, Atlanta, or Toronto could beat us too in a series. I wouldn't be afraid of Brooklyn. I wouldn't be afraid of Brooklyn or Chicago in any way, shape, or form. I think the Cavs would easily win those series, and I wouldn't be concerned at all. I would be mildly concerned with any of those other teams. That I wouldn't be stunned if the Cavs got beat by any of those other four teams.
Yeah, well, none of those teams are going to catch New York at this point, I don't think.
No, I agree. I agree. We're going to play the Knicks in the first round.
Yeah. So here's my question, Mike.
Okay.
What would be the best situation for the Cavs? So we're getting the Knicks. Who does Milwaukee need to draw somehow, some way in the first round to make it a series? It'd have to be Miami, right? Of all those teams? Like, I'm not even saying that it's going to be a legitimate series, but a team that could win one, maybe two games it's a 5-game series in the first round, right? Now? Is that right?
No, it's seven. No, it's seven.
Okay.
It's seven.
I'm getting, oh, no, that's, I'm sorry. That's the wrong sport. Apologize. So it's still seven. So what team could win two games, Mike? Can Miami beat Milwaukee twice or no?
I mean, I think if you're Miami, right, you at least have Bam to throw at Giannis or Jimmy to throw at Giannis. So Miami seems like, and we can go back to the bubble, the pre-bubble, where in the bubble, you remember Miami beat Milwaukee, and then the following year is when Milwaukee swept Miami out of the playoffs. So there's some history there. I don't think Atlanta beats them. Toronto, I'm not sure they have anybody that really matches up tremendously well with Giannis from a defensive standpoint. The Bulls, no. Brooklyn, no. Yeah, I don't – I mean, I guess you got it. You'd have to pick, I think, by default Miami, although I don't think – I think Milwaukee runs through any of these teams 4-0 or 4-1, I would say. I don't think anybody's going to challenge them. Milwaukee's the best team in the league right now, and I don't think it's particularly close in all honesty.
Honestly, when you look at the East, Mike, I think the Cavs have the best chance to beat them just because we have height. I'm not saying we're going to. I don't think we will. But I just think the Cavs are the best equipped.
The Cavs theoretically are equipped with what it takes to be able to beat Milwaukee, in that you have two different guys with size that you can throw at Giannis. And because they're a really good defensive team, Milwaukee's a really good defensive team. Milwaukee's offense is eh. So I think that bodes well for the Cavs. Now, again, would I be stunned if Milwaukee beat the Cavs 4-0 or 4-1 in the second round? No. Would I be surprised if that series went 6 or 7 games? No. I think the Cavs could do it because, as you said, I think they're at least theoretically well-equipped to be able to at least deal with some of what Milwaukee does. And we've played the Bucks well during the regular season. Obviously, the playoffs, completely different story. But I still don't trust Bud completely as a playoff coach, despite the fact that he's won an NBA title. And Bickerstaff is an unproven commodity in the playoffs, so it's not like you're going to look and be like, oh, Bickerstaff's going to clearly outcoach Budenholzer. We have no idea. But I think that possibility is already out there. So the Cavs are going to have a hard time beating Boston, Philly, or Milwaukee. I still would probably rather play Philly out of those three teams just because of the playoff history of Embiid and Harden tells you that despite what we've seen in the regular season, how good they've been, that there's a distinct possibility that things are going to go haywire in some form or fashion in the playoffs. So I think I'd rather play Philly out of all those teams, but I'm okay with Milwaukee, and we've played the Celtics well. So look, do the Cavs have a chance to win that second round series? Yes. Would it be a surprise if they did? Yes.
I agree. They just have to figure out how to stop Giannis, and any team needs to figure that out. And I don't know that there's a way to stop him, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't think there is.
No. All right. So, Eastern Conference teams, like, do you think that the way those four teams that are currently in are like the top 10 are going to remain the top 10? Do you see Indiana or Washington coming up, or are Indiana and Washington punting at this point?
I think
seems like they're punting.
Halliburton is hurt right now. I think he's missed a couple games. So I think I don't know if he's coming back or he's not coming back. But I think Indiana clearly, if they don't have Halliburton, there's no chance that they're coming back. The Wizards, it would seem, want to win games, but despite the fact that they want to win games, they're not winning games.
They've lost three in a row.
Chicago clearly wants to win. So I think Chicago probably stays in there. I think the bigger question is, which of those teams do you think actually make the eight-team playoff field? So let's assume Miami gets up into six and go with Brooklyn, Atlanta, Toronto, Chicago. Who's the first team out of that group for you? Who's the first team out?
Like out, like
yeah. Well, like which team
is number seven?
Who's going to be? Which team do you think is least likely to advance into the playoffs? Of Brooklyn, Atlanta, Chicago. Toronto.
Chicago.
Okay. I might take Brooklyn, but I think clearly Brooklyn and Chicago would be the two teams that people would think.
Brooklyn's going to get two chances, though, Mike.
Right.
They're
I'm
not
going to
fall below eight.
Right. But I'm just saying Brooklyn and Chicago would be the two teams. So you think somebody else, you think Toronto's more likely to fall out?
Well, I'm just saying, no. I was just, when you said first out, I thought you were saying, like, who's going to lose and be out after one game. That's what I was.
No, I just meant which is the easiest team to say that team's not going to make it out of the play-in and into the playoff field.
I think Brooklyn's better than Chicago.
And to your point, Brooklyn's probably going to get a chance. They're going to have two games probably to win one.
Yeah.
It's unlikely that they're going to fall away at nine. Maybe they fall into the 7-8 game, but they're not falling into the 9-10 game. So I think you're probably right there that Brooklyn's going to have two games to win one.
If Brooklyn plays Chicago, Brooklyn's winning that game. Okay. I feel really confident about that.
It's probably going to be Chicago. Chicago's going to play either Toronto or Atlanta. In the 9-10 playoff game.
And Chicago's losing that game too.
Right. I think you would take whichever of those other teams.
Yeah. To your point, I think that Chicago and Brooklyn are probably the two teams that are out. However, I think it would be really awesome if Atlanta was out too, just because of all the Trey stuff and you know, he had a good game tonight, but I just can't stand him. I'm over him. I'm over him as a player. I don't think Quinn Snyder's probably banging his head against the wall.
I don't like watching the Hawks play that much. And you think back to how good Trey was in that playoff run where they beat the Sixers. And we talked about it then that he was just a guy who wasn't afraid and was shooting the lights out of the ball and just played unbelievably well in that particular stretch. But for whatever reason, I think part of it being that offensively, he doesn't do much when he doesn't have the ball. And defensively, he does next to nothing. That he's just not a guy that's easy to play with. And it seems like from what we see in front of the curtain, that behind the curtain, he's not the easiest guy to deal with for coaches, for front office, for teammates. And that's not a good sign for the Atlanta Hawks franchise, let's put it this way. And I think at some point, you're going to have to look around if you're Langston Galloway, the GM of the Hawks, and say, I don't think that we're ever going to be able to win at a high level, which is crazy because, again, he made the conference finals in his, third or fourth season as clearly the best player on the team. But it just seems like there's a lot.
Luka Doncic.
Yeah, it just seems like there's a lot going on in Atlanta that would have to go right. So, yeah, I think Atlanta, I wouldn't mind seeing them miss it either.
Yeah. All right. Man, so now we're going to go to the West, Mike, and this Western Conference, I just don't even know what to do anymore. We talk about it every week. The fourth seed and the 12th seed are separated by 3.5 games, Mike. 3.5 games.
And 4.5 games all the way down to the 12. Because New Orleans and the Lakers are currently out of the play-in.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's 3.5 games from 4 to 12.
Sorry. Yeah, 3.5.
That's what I was saying. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Remember, I teach math, Mike. I got
Thank
it.
Thank you. I was at. I was doing some mental math. I was at 2.5 for some reason. I don't know. I was lost.
It's okay. It's all right. It's just crazy. Like all these teams. Like I think. Well, obviously, we 1, 2, 3 are set. Okay, that they're set that they're going to be in the top three. No one's passing them up. They're in the top three. What the combination's going to be, I think it's pretty safe to say Denver's, despite the fact that they've been 5-5 in the last 10. I don't see them falling that far down. Memphis and Sacramento are going to be 2-3 one way, shape, or form. But, I mean, you're looking at a situation right now that Phoenix, the Clippers, Golden State, Dallas, like all these teams could be, we could have a team that's in 10th spot right now being 4 or 5 spot by the time the season's out. I mean, it's not that far out of the realm of possibility. You just look at, and then you got the Lakers sitting outside the bubble outside right now looking in, but you look at their schedule, and I have their schedule pulled up here, Mike. I did at least. Hold on. They play against Phoenix. That's going to be a tough game. They play against Oklahoma City. Theoretically a tough game. They play 2 games against Chicago, home and home against Chicago. They play at home against Chicago, and then the next game they play at Chicago. Then they play Minnesota, Houston, Utah, the Clippers, and Phoenix again. Like, those aren't really...
Are we saying goodbye to the Lakers? That schedule sounds like we're saying goodbye to the Lakers.
I mean, would I be... No, I'm saying, yeah, it's not looking good for the Lakers. But at the same time, could you see them? I mean, Phoenix hasn't wowed me lately, right?
None of these teams are good. Just look down the records after you go. Start with Phoenix, 5-5 in their last 10. Clippers, 5-5. Warriors, 4-6. Mavericks, 4-6. Minnesota, 5-5. Oklahoma City, 7-3. The Jazz, 5-5. The Lakers, 6-4. The Pelicans, 5-5. So you're talking about Oklahoma City's been the best of that group at 7-3, which in some ways makes sense, but it's also counterintuitive to everything that Oklahoma City has done over the past couple seasons, where coming down the stretch, they've just completely shut it down, and Shea's been out with injury, and they're clearly not doing that this year. They clearly are okay.
Well, I think it's about time.
Absolutely. I think they're clearly okay with trying to win at this point in the season, which they're pretty well equipped to do. I mean, you have Shea, who's arguably a top 10 player in the league, certainly at least this season, and probably going forward based on his age and what we've seen from him to this point. So there's nobody that's running away from it. There's nobody that's running towards it either. And so I think when you look at this whole picture, what you have to say is, in order for a team to make a big leap up to 4, which is entirely possible, that would probably require one of these teams to go 7-3 or 8-10 or 9-1 in their last 10 games, or close to whatever their last 10 games are, depending on how many they have left on their schedule. And do you see any of these teams doing that? I mean, I don't see any of these teams ripping off a 9 out of 10 or an 8 out of 10. And that, just based on what we've seen from them all season, I don't think that is really feasible. So I think what's more feasible is that we're going to come back a week from now and we're going to look at each of these teams' last 10, and they're all going to look exactly the same. They're going to be 5-5 or 4-6 or 6-4. And you're going to have the standings may change slightly. But I don't think anybody is jumping up from – I don't think Utah is going to jump and end up in the 4 spot ahead of Phoenix and all these other teams. I don't think Oklahoma City is going to do that. I think more likely all these teams are going to kind of continue to plod along plus or minus a game over 500. And in the end, because they're all separated by such little in the standings, I just think that – it's going to, I don't want to say it's going to look pretty much the same, because it could be all completely jumbled, but I don't think you're getting a situation where one of the teams in 9, 10, 11, or 12, even though they're only 3.5 back, I don't see any of those teams being able to jump up and get into the top four, top five. Maybe I think all those teams want to get to the six, right? I think if you're if you're any of these teams, clearly you just want to get in the play-in if that's what your goal is. But I think realistically, you could get to the six. I don't think any of the teams right now that are 7 through 12, I don't think realistically any of those teams can get to the five. I just don't see them ripping off a 8-2 stretch in 10 games.
I agree with that statement. They're just not good enough, Mike. And also, I mean, I don't know for sure, but like, it seems like all these teams, I was kind of perusing the schedules a little bit here and there, and it seems like they're all playing each other, which again
leads to the idea that they're probably all going to be right around 500.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll just have to wait and see, Mike. We'll just have to
wait. All right. Well, let's say it stays the way it is. So let's eliminate the Los Angeles Lakers.
That brings joy to you.
It doesn't really. I mean, I don't know. I'm not really anti-Lakers. Although I know in some ways it sometimes comes off on the podcast that I'm anti-Lakers, but I'm really not. Like, to be honest with you, if LeBron was back healthy and you had LeBron and AD back and you had the rest of this roster, it would be more fun to watch them play than Utah being in there, or if New Orleans were somehow to crawl in there without Zion. I don't know. I mean, it'd be fun to have the Lakers in there. I just don't think they're going to make it. And I think there's so much hype around this team and the idea that they're actually going to be able to make a run and win multiple playoff series. There's no way. I mean, they could maybe win a series if everything went completely perfectly, but there's no way they're running the gauntlet and winning three series to get to the NBA Finals. It's just not going to happen. So let's just get them out before it even starts.
Yeah. Hold on. I want to see real quick. I want to look at the futures here. Remember, I think we did it last week. To win the NBA title. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They have the 9th best odds, Mike. Still.
Despite the fact they're not even in the play-in right now.
Yeah.
A lot of money coming in on the Lakers. Lots of fellow bettors like yourself are putting a lot of money down on the Lakers.
No.
No?
No. I didn't put money in the Lakers.
Well, you might. Pretty soon.
Nope.
Pretty soon. You're going to have money on the Rockets. Getting to 21 wins. You're going to have all kinds of bets going.
No, 25 cents on the Kings Cavaliers finals.
Right, well, hey, could happen. You never know. All right, let's do the same thing with the West that we did with the East. Which team, let's again assume that it's going to be exactly the way it is now. Who makes it through out of the play-in to actually get into the actual playoffs? So your choices are the Mavs, Timberwolves, Thunder, Jazz.
I don't like any of my options. Probably the Mavs aren't going to lose two games with Luka. I just don't see that happening. I think the Mavs are out, and I'm going to go with Oklahoma City, Mike.
Good call. I'm doing the same. That's exactly who I would pick. You could make an argument for Minnesota. Maybe you'd make a counter argument.
Is Anthony Edwards healthy, though?
Maybe you make the counter argument that Karl Anthony Towns is going to be back soon. I think he was just upgraded to questionable, if I'm not mistaken, for their next game. So, which means he's probably.
That might be
that's what I'm saying. Could that end up actually being a negative? I mean, clearly, there's a lot that they had to figure out by pairing Towns and Gobert, and they really didn't get any opportunity to do that because Towns got hurt so early on and they were scuffling when he did. So, it seems unlikely that you'd bring Towns back into the mix and suddenly everything would coalesce and click into place and Minnesota is going to be off to the races. I don't see that happening. And it feels like Shea could win two games. I don't want to say by himself, but it seems like he could have two big games and they could win if they finish in the 9 spot. And again, they're tied right now.
Dort could hit 5 threes.
Right. Well, and they're tied for the 8 spot, so they might slide up into the 7-8. So who knows? This whole thing could be in flux. I think, yeah, I would go with, of the way it is now, I'd probably go with Dallas and Oklahoma City. And I'm not sure that there's anything that would happen there that would change it. Although I guess if Golden State falls into the play-in, if they were the seventh seed where they'd have two home games, you would have to pick the Warriors to get out of there and make it into the playoff field. But again, anybody trying to sell me the Warriors as a legitimate NBA title contender, are you still?
Well, you and Kendrick Perkins
agree. Are you still buying the Warriors potential NBA champion stock? You're still buying it?
I'm not taking them out.
No way. There's just no way. I can't.
I'm not taking them out. I'm sorry. I'm not doing it.
They're gonna have to win. You're talking about a team that
they have the sixth best title odds.
That's insane. Look, Mike. I don't even see it. Well, I mean, I see how that's possible because people are just betting on them sight unseen and don't really understand what's happening. But they're 8-29 on the road, and that's a team that's going to have four straight series where they don't have home court advantage. So you're looking at they're going to have to win at least one road game in each playoff series and probably multiple road games because I doubt they're going to go undefeated at home. And they have shown no propensity whatsoever to win on the road. So I don't buy them at all as a legitimate title contender. I don't think there's any possibility. To be honest with you, I look at the West and I'm not sure. I know we talked about this last week, but I guess you could say the Durant version of the Suns, you could see winning a title. The Clippers, if everything went perfectly with their health, at least you could see where their ceiling might be. I can't see Sacramento winning a title as good as they've been. I can't see Memphis winning a title. Although kudos to Memphis, right? Without Ja, they've now won three in a row. I think everybody thought that they were going to fall for sure into the three spot and Sacramento was going to pass them. And to Memphis's credit, they fought without him. Denver, that's the last team here that clearly they've been the best team in the Western Conference the whole year, but they've been scuffling lately. Defensively, it's a little bit of a struggle. And I don't think anybody out there really feels like Denver is a team that can – I mean, it certainly can't match up with those teams in the East.
Oh, there's no one beating those teams in the East, Mike.
Yeah, defensively, they're just not the same. And, you know, you look down, up and down the Western Conference, and it's hard to imagine any of those teams really winning a title. I think if I look at it, I'd probably – most like to see Denver or Sacramento just from what those two teams bring offensively to the table. But then you look at where they are on the defensive side of the ball and there's no way they're matching up with those top teams in the Eastern Conference. It's just not going to happen. So I think I had my pick as Milwaukee and Denver at the beginning of the season for my finals. And I'm going to stick with that. I think that's still probably the most likely matchup. And I don't see anybody beating the Bucks. I think when they're at their best, they're more versatile than they've ever been. And the fact that Middleton was out for a large portion of the season forced Giroux to step up as sort of an offensive focal point, which he's done. And I think that's going to benefit them as Middleton gets back to hopefully the level close to what he was when they won a championship. And if he does that, to me, I just think Milwaukee is the best team. They have the best player. They have the experience. They've won a championship before. I think they come out of the East, and I think whoever does come out of the East, barring coming out of there with an injury or some other problem, I think they take care of business pretty easily with whoever that Western Conference team is. So I got Milwaukee and Denver as my finals pick right now.
All right. I'm sticking with Milwaukee as well, and I'm going to beam me up with the Sacramento Kings just because I like them. I know they're bad on defense, but I just want to root for them, Mike. That's the whole crux of me picking them. I don't feel as strongly about any Western Conference team, so I'm just going to go with the team I want to root for. So that's, I'm going to go with Sacramento.
Well, I think I probably did the same thing. I think of all the teams, I'd most like to see Denver. I think for Jokic and the storyline, and just to see him make a long, deep playoff run. And as we've chronicled before, he's been very, very, very good in the playoffs, and has probably actually been more productive even than he has been in the regular season, which is crazy for a two-time MVP. But I think people still doubt whether or not he's good enough because of his defensive deficiencies, whether he's going to be able to lead a team to an NBA title. So it'd be nice to see them at least make a run to the finals. And then once you get there, who knows? Seems unlikely, but stranger things have probably happened. But I think the Bucks, to me, are the team to beat. So let's leave it there. We will be back next week with another NBA episode. In the meantime, check out the episode that we put out earlier in the week with Jeremy Hayes from Fadeaway Fitness, doing some great things on the training side. And then coming up on Friday, we'll have an interview with Jeff Becker, mental performance coach. He also works with Chris Paul and his Rising Stars All-American camp. So really interesting interview with Jeff. So make sure you check those two out, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks. The first training camp Elite Skill Development and Performance Combine will be held on the campus of Western Reserve Academy, just outside of Cleveland, Ohio, powered by Unleash Potential and the Hoopheads podcast. The camp is designed for boys rising to grades 6 through 9 and will take place June 29th through July 1st, 2023. An emphasis on improving individual skills in the context of a team environment will be the hallmark of the training camp. Mike Klinzing from Head Start Basketball and the Hoopheads podcast and Joe's Decision from Unleashed Potential will serve as the camp directors of this inaugural training camp. Campers can expect 3 days of hard work, intense skill instruction, and learning how to be a great teammate on and off the court at the training camp. Players will participate in 10 elite skill development sessions led by some of the best coaches from across the country. Visit headstartbasketball.com to get registered. Your first impression is everything when applying for a new coaching job. A professional coaching portfolio is the tool that highlights your coaching achievements and philosophies, and most of all, helps separate you and your abilities from the other applicants. The Coaching Portfolio Guide is an instructional membership-based website that helps you develop a personalized portfolio. Each section of the Portfolio Guide provides detailed instructions on how to organize your portfolio in a professional manner. The guide also provides sample documents for each section of your portfolio that you can copy, modify, and add to your personal portfolio. As a Hoopheads Pod listener, you can get your Coaching Portfolio Guide for just $25. Visit coachingportfolioguide.com/hoopheads to learn more.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.